Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Josh Hammer is back with us this afternoon. He's the opinion editor for Newsweek magazine, wrote a piece that caught my attention for The Spectator on the Alito opinion and Roe v. Wade. Josh, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Always a pleasure to be back with you.
So you said that, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You praise this decision if, in fact, it holds, but you also say that this can be described, your word here is normie. What does that mean? Because your opinion is maybe it should go further, right?
Yeah, so look, I don't want to sell the Justice Alito opinion short. And I appreciate, obviously, that you're caveating that, as I did in my essay, by saying that we need to see this through and make sure that it holds. And I think pro-lifers throughout the country at this time really should be focused on praying that Justice Kavanaugh, Barrett in particular, you know, have the courage and the fortitude to see this thing through amidst this just completely unprecedented chain of events that we're currently experience right now with the leak and the protest and all that. But yes, look, so the Alito opinion, this is so long overdue, of course. In 1992, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the court had an opportunity to overturn their handiwork from 19 years prior in Roe versus Wade. They declined to do so. They doubled down. And the resulting framework has not worked. The issue has only become more divisive, more fraught. Obviously, since Roe versus Wade, we've lost 63 million unborn children, just a horrific statistic to even contemplate. But, you know, in this essay, what I was thinking here was, look, if you go back to the 1850s and 1860s, you think about Lincoln versus Douglas in particular in 1858 on the debate stump in Illinois when they were running for that Senate seat. Lincoln appealed time and time again to the inescapable moral and biological truth that the black man is a human being deserving of all rights. And what Stephen Douglas said over and over again was that it should be up to the will of the people. Popular sovereignty in the Western territories was what he said at the time. But in the pro-life debate, we have a lot of people on the right of center side who sound a lot like Stephen Douglas, who just say it should be states' rights, states' rights, states' rights. I don't think that's good enough. I think it's a good first step overturning it back to the states. But in the long run, we need to have abortion banned nationally, the same way that slavery was.
Is that, you know, by the way, not that I disagree with you on that, but is that a realistic approach given the time that we're in right now?
So given current constraints, given the current composition of the court, given the briefs that they read and all that, I do not fault them in the least for the opinion that it looks like we probably are more likely than not to get, meaning, of course, the leaked opinion from Justice Alito. The opinion's a good one. I really do not want to sell it short. I mean, he basically says in this opinion what originalists, constitutional conservatives, have generally said for 30, 40 years. I mean, this is what Justice Scalia said over and over and over and again. Justice Thomas has, you know, for his measure, written something very similar many times, which is that the Constitution is, quote unquote, silent on the issue of abortion. Therefore, it is a states' rights issue. That's kind of the standard originalist take. I guess what I'm trying to do here is to try to lay the groundwork for a potential kind of Overton window shift and a change in legal thinking on this issue such that we might be able to effectuate something maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the line. This is it's a mid to long term play. It's not kind of an overnight kind of thing.
But if it's a mid to long term play, and this is where, you know, I kind of separate from where policy is, just because I tend to believe I'm a political realist. So if you have a majority of the opinion in this country right now where most people think that Roe v. Wade maybe shouldn't be overturned, or it depends how the question is asked, that, you know, some abortion on demand should be allowed, but very limited. We also see the polling shows that we overall 60% of the people don't want this to be on demand or past the first trimester. So how do you get to a point? Now, obviously, this is a different question if it comes to the Constitution and what a court might decide, where you have abortion that is banned in all 50 states across the country. That would seem completely out of step where the majority of the country is. Not that that should be how legal cases and cases before the court are decided, but obviously that does play a role.
So it does play a role. Look, I mean, I just cited Lincoln. I mean, Lincoln himself also said that public sentiment, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, he said public sentiment is kind of the be-all, end-all of public policy in this country. You know, without public sentiment, nothing can succeed, and with public sentiment, nothing can fail. So I do think, you know, I was talking there, you know, mid to long term, 15, 20 years down the line or whatnot, over the next 5 to 10 years, pro-lifers should be engaged in kind of the state legislature by state legislature, kind of, you know, fight the bills, lobby, work the hands, you know, try to convince people in the marketplace of ideas. That should be kind of our short term goal. But in the long term here, you know, especially we do have to work to change hearts and minds and better align that public sentiment. But the other thing that I'll say here, Mark, I think there's been a long running debate, not just on the right side of the political aisle, but kind of just across the entire spectrum, as to whether law or culture is upstream of the other. Right. So the late, great Andrew Breitbart famously said that in order to change politics, you have to change culture, that politics is downstream of culture. I've never been fully convinced of that, actually. I think that's half right. To me, politics and culture is kind of a two-way arrow where they actually can directly affect one another. And there are lots of recent examples of it working the other direction, in fact. So I kind of look back to Obergefell versus Hodges, the 2015 case of the Supreme Court that constitutionalized same-sex marriage under the 14th Amendment. After that was constitutionalized and removed from the democratic process where no one could kind of vote up or down on it or vote on it in a referendum booth, the polling on that dramatically changed and it escalated in favor of same-sex marriage. And I think kind of the law had something to do with that. So law is not just reactive. It can also be a shaper or sculptor, I think, of public sentiment. So that's the other half of this equation. But yes, to get back to what you said, I mean, we do need to work to change that public sentiment, without which Lincoln said nothing can succeed, of course.
And how do you do that with changing hearts and minds? This is an issue for me. You know, I did a monologue on this a couple of weeks ago when, you know, the leak came out, because I saw, you probably maybe even saw some friends that were posting things on Facebook and elsewhere. And there was one that sort of went viral that was, I think, a pasting clip where a friend of mine in particular said, I'm for Emily and I'm for, you know, Janet. And they listed all these women with scenarios that might be difficult when it comes to getting pregnant, whether they're young or there was a rape or incest or things along those lines. Now, my tact was to kind of go in the opposite direction. It was to say, wait a second here. I was born in 1965 before Roe v. Wade, and certainly could have been someone who might have been a victim of that. I had a brother who was born with hydrocephalus before 1973. So there are different aspects of this. And I've always been quite stunned of the callousness on the arguments on the other side. But I guess I bring it up, Josh, because, look, I can understand the arguments on the other side, not to justify all of them, but it doesn't seem like many people on the left ever really want to give any kind of thought to how callous their position on some of this is. Do you notice that?
I think that's very well said. Look, I mean, I understand why the other side thinks what they understand, too. I mean, human beings ultimately are products of the culture in which they were raised and the formative experiences they have had. I'm a relatively young guy. I graduated college in 2011. I mean, I kind of was there in college, kind of at the height of quote unquote hookup culture, where people were just randomly having romantic affairs, sexual affairs, and sometimes you wake up the next morning and something happens, right? So, I mean, I have seen before my eyes kind of the culture that results in the mentality such that someone could view abortion as kind of a form of de facto birth control, even
right.
though,
yeah,
you know, even though everyone knows that it really is no such thing. But the other side has no comprehension whatsoever, by and large, of what we stand for. I think back to when I was in law school, I went to this kind of reading seminar group that the pro-choice or pro-abortion, I should say, student group was hosting. And at the time, it was this book. This is 2015, I think, was the year it was written by Catherine Powlett, I think was the name of the author. And the title of the book was Shout Your Abortion. It's this notion that this is nothing whatsoever in any way different from a kidney transplant or clipping a toenail or nothing like that. To them, they have deluded themselves into thinking this is a routine, quote-unquote, medical procedure. It's just healthcare. And they just fail to look at the ultrasound images. They fail to read kind of an embryology 101 piece of literature or a casebook or a textbook. They just have made no effort, it seems like, to grapple with the fact, and it really is a fact at this point, biologists are totally in unison on this, that life begins at fertilization. A new DNA code is formed at fertilization. Now, if they want to argue to us that a new DNA code does not deserve legal protection for that fact alone, I guess that's an argument to be had, but they're not even willing to grapple with or engage on those terms, it seems like.
What's your reaction? I saw this a couple of weeks ago, too. Just, you know, you had a lot of hot takes after this thing gets leaked out to the cluster of cells argument, in the sense that I thought Annie Fry, who does our midday show right before me, had a good reaction to this as well. But I'm curious about your reaction, that we don't, for example, Josh, mourn the millions of miscarried babies, things along those lines. Did you see any of those arguments?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. I mean, look, I mean, I think a lot of us know personally people, of course, who have lost children to miscarriages. It's just so tragic. I mean, a situation like this is always a tragedy. But, if it is a tragedy when a woman loses her unborn child to a miscarriage, then by the same token, obviously, it should be a tragedy if she willfully decides to terminate it in the womb.
Yeah.
You just can't have it both ways. I mean, I think back to English common law. I mean, really, you could actually go back further than English common law. You could go back to the Bible. I mean, I'm Jewish, so like what we would call the Torah, what our Christian friends would call the Old Testament, there is ample legal data points in there that criminalize that feticide, where if you kind of accidentally, let alone intentionally, terminate a pregnant woman's unborn child, there are legal consequences for that, literally going back to the Old Testament, to the Bible itself. So, I mean, we have been able to readily intuit that this is a wrong act of one degree or another for a very, very, very long time now. Yeah, I think the miscarriage example really does kind of just drive that point home.
Are you surprised, because I am, I really am, that we're 2 weeks in now and we don't have the leaker?
I'm actually, frankly, shocked.
Yeah, I am too.
I really thought we would know by the end of that leak. I mean, the leak came on a Monday night. Because the sample size here is just not very big. There's 37 law clerks, there's 9 justices, so it's probably 46 people. I mean, realistically speaking, of that 46 sample size, you can probably just, you know, you can eliminate more than half of them. So realistically speaking, here we're talking about like 12 law clerks.
Right.
I mean, like the four each from the 3 justices. I mean, a reasonably competent investigation would have been able to get to the bottom of this by now. I mean, I was at dinner actually just last night with a friend of mine who clerked on the Supreme Court, and we were talking about this a little bit. I think it's entirely plausible that they know who it is at this point, but they're just not revealing it. If it's not that, then the only two other possibilities are just rank incompetence, the likes of which I would almost have difficulty attributing to the marshal of the Supreme Court and whoever else he or she is using. Or on the other hand, the final possibility here, and this is the more nefarious possibility, but something that I actually flagged since day one, is the possibility that this actually came from a justice, perhaps even Sonia Sotomayor herself, in which case the court would have more reason to try to hide it. So
yeah.
I think that's possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but I really do think it's possible.
I think it's possible as well. Look, I appreciate you coming on. Always great insight. Josh Hammer from Newsweek, the opinion editor. I appreciate you coming on this afternoon, Josh. Have a great week.
You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.